Turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. And as you are finding that passage, consider this. Where will your choices take you? Let's read together chapter 28. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 and then also 16 through 20. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not do right in the sight of the Lord, as David his father had done. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He also made molten images for the Baals. Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of Ben-Hinnom and burned his sons in fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had driven out before the sons of Israel. He sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. And then dropping down to verse 16. At that time, King Ahaz sent to the kings of Assyria for help. For again, the Edomites had come and attacked Judah and carried away captives. The Philistines also had invaded the cities of the lowland and of the Negev of Judah, and had taken Beth Shemesh, Ajalon, Gedareth, and Soko with its villages, Timnah with its villages, and Gimzo with its villages, and they settled there. For the Lord humbled Judah because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he had brought about a lack of restraint in Judah and was very unfaithful to the Lord. So Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came against him and afflicted him instead of strengthening him. Where will your choices take you? Choosing faithfulness will require you to withstand some things. There were two young boys who were raised in the home of an alcoholic father. As young men, they went their separate ways. Years later, a psychologist analyzing what drunkenness does to children searched out these two young men. One had turned out to be like his father, a hopeless alcoholic. The other had turned out to be a teetotaler who never once touched a drop of alcohol. Now, if you didn't catch it, they're brothers raised in the same home. The counselor asked the first, "Why did you become an alcoholic?" "Well," he said, "I couldn't help it. It was what I saw." The other one was a teetotaler, and he said, "Why did you become a teetotaler?" And he said, "What else could you expect when you had a father like mine?" Maybe the two are right. Maybe it was the father who caused them to be as they were. But maybe they are wrong. For they are both denying the monumental importance their own choices made in their lives. This morning we're going to look at two men. We've read about one already. We're going to look at two men who seemingly were headed to destinations quite different than their role models might indicate, which means it comes down to their choices. One chose faithfulness to the Lord, one did not. What will you choose? What will you choose? You do have a choice to make this morning between faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ and his ways, or to the world and its ways. Only the choosing of faithfulness to Jesus will bring about the life worth living. What will you choose? Choosing faithfulness will require you to withstand the pressure of unfaithful people. Don't go along to get along. The father of Ahaz was Jotham, summary of whom in chapter 27 says was he did right in the sight of the Lord. So here's Ahaz growing up in a home. Now, maybe it's a little different. You think about the king of Judah. And understand, too, that the tribe of Israel had split. That Israel was to north, Judah was to the south. Israel, the northern kingdom, was completely going away from the Lord. But here's Jotham, who raises his son Ahaz And the summary of his life was, as he did right before the Lord, but not Ahaz. When he becomes king, he did not do right in the sight of the Lord. He did not worship the Lord, but he worshiped idols. And it was so bad, it says that he put his children in the fire. That's almost unimaginable in my estimation. To take your child, I don't know, was he a baby? Was he an infant in arms that he sacrificed? Think about it. You take your child and lay him on the fire to burn up? Oh, man. But the problem was he could not withstand the pressure of unfaithful people. It says that Ahaz walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. See, Israel had completely gone their own way. And he was allowing them to influence him. And so sometimes there are things that you have to withstand. You have to withstand the pressure of unfaithful people. If he had claimed he didn't know what the Lord said, then it was on him because they had the law. You say, well, they didn't have the Bible. Well, they had a lot of it, but they chose to go their own way. It was not as if the Lord said, good luck, and walked away. The Lord gave us his word. The Lord gave us the Bible. He had the law, but he chose to go his own way. He patterned his life after everyone but his righteous father. They had been faithful to the Lord, and they had seen their enemies subdued. But Ahaz, in his worship of idols, just said, I'll go my own way. He knew better. But maybe he wanted to be inclusive and didn't want to be seen as intolerant. It's interesting today that we live in a time, in a world that says if you don't agree with me, you're intolerant. You're hateful. Just by disagreeing? By the way, you Georgia fans, I think OU's still the better team. But that's the world we live in. And so Ahaz wants to be seen as inclusive. He tried to include all the people, all the thinking, all the truth claims. And so when the problem arose in being attacked, verse 16 summarized the response of Ahaz. Instead of turning to the one true God for help, he turned to a coalition building idea. And Ahaz caved in. Instead of help, only more trouble came. The attacks continued until the Lord had humbled Judah because of Ahaz. He could not withstand the pressure of unfaithful people. What will you do? If you're old enough to remember April 20th, 1999, it was one of those days that you probably remember where you were when you heard the news. Unfortunately, we as a nation have had many more days like it that probably have not impacted us like that day. That April day, two students walked into Columbine High School and began shooting people. This is what one of the shooter's mother, Susan Klebold, said, reflecting on that April day, its horror and her son's involvement. For a good while, we did not know where our son was or his involvement. Yet no matter how hard I wanted to believe that he wasn't, I couldn't dismiss the possibility. My husband had noticed something tight in Dylan's voice earlier that week. I had heard it myself just that morning. I knew that Dylan disliked his school and that he had spent much of the past few days with Eric Harris, who hadn't been to our house for months, but who'd suddenly stayed over one night that weekend. If Eric was missing now, too, then I couldn't deny that the two of them might be involved in something bad together. More than a year earlier, they had broken into a van parked on a country road near our house. They'd been arrested and had completed a juvenile diversion program that involved counseling, community service, and classes. Their theft had shown that under each other's influence, they could be more impulsive and unscrupulous. Could they also, no matter how unbelievable it seemed, be violent? Separately, maybe not. But together, they were. Who influences you the most? Maybe what the question that you need to determine this morning is Jesus worthy of your faithfulness to him? And I got to say to you, he is. He is worthy of your faithfulness. He willingly took on human form. He willingly went to the cross to pay a debt he did not owe. He willingly died, but on the third day was raised to defeat sin, death, and the grave. Are you faithful to him? Or are you, maybe again it goes back to who's around you. Are you surrounding yourself with faithful Christ-following people? Do you realize God wants to help you, or are you surrounding yourself with people who will not go in a faithful way to Christ? Do you realize this morning that God wants to help you? Are you choosing to be faithful, or are you caving in? And what's happening today is that we want to say that, oh, that was true back then, but that's not true now. Did people 2,000 years ago not eat and drink food and water like we do today? You say, well, that's one thing. No, that's all of life. It's all of life. We're the same. We just have different issues because we have different, more distractions. I'm in the middle of a book. I forget now, but I think it's 50 people that every Christian should know about. And I'm still in the Jonathan Edwards era. I actually read about a man last night that I had never heard of. Have you ever heard of Christmas Evans? Maybe it's one of your forefathers. The description of him was he was one of the greatest preachers Wales ever produced. And I got to thinking. The description of different ones talked about how long they studied and how long they prayed. He would get up at midnight to pray. Some of them would get up at 4 a.m. and pray for 4 hours. You and I struggle with praying for 4 minutes, much less 40 minutes or 4 hours. Jonathan Edwards, the comment made about him was that he studied for 13 hours a day. Scripture. Do you? I don't. We have all these distractions. My challenge to you today is to come back to and renew your faithfulness to Christ. Renew your faithfulness to Christ. Who are the people in your life encouraging you to be faithful? And who are the people in your life encouraging you towards unfaithfulness? And which do you spend the most time with? We are to withstand the pressure. We are to choose faithfulness. Choosing faithfulness begins by placing an emphasis on worship. We're going to start in verse 29. Actually, I'm going to read the last verse of 28, which is not going to be on the screen. Verse 27, chapter 28, verse 27. So Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city in Jerusalem, for they did not bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel, and Hezekiah his son reigned in his place. Chapter 29. Hezekiah became king when he was 29 years, when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, he did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them into the square on the east. There was an emphasis on worship. You worship someone or something, every one of us does. You worship someone or something. Direct your one to the only one worthy of worship. Only the Lord is worthy of worship, only Jesus. Ahaz had been unfaithful to the Lord. Now again, you know, go back into the story of the two boys raised in the same home. Here is Ahaz who had a father who the scripture says who did right in the sight of the Lord. And now we have Hezekiah who was raised in Ahaz's home, a man who did not do right by the Lord, and it says that Hezekiah did right. Chapter 28, verse 22, which we didn't read, condemns Ahaz because he became even more unfaithful to the Lord. So when he dies, Hezekiah becomes king. And the summary is very short. He did right in the sight of the Lord. He could have followed the lead of that infidel father, but he chose another way. He opened the doors to the place of worship. He opened the doors to the temple, which his father had closed. And he instructed the priests to ready the place and themselves. Hezekiah placed emphasis back on worship of the Lord. Now, what was that chapter? What was that passage that got read this morning? And what was the comment rightly made that we are to worship whether we feel like it or not? Well, I've got the sniffles. Well, maybe you ought to stay home, but you ought to worship. How you live your life every waking moment is how you worship or not. Because we're either going to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and follow Him, or we're going to go our own way. Back in the early 1960s, Robert Kennedy visited the Amazon and conversed with a Brazilian Indian who had recently come to Christ. Speaking through a translator, Kennedy asked the man, "What do you like to do most?" Kennedy expected an answer like hunting or fishing or canoeing. Instead, the man said, "Being occupied with God." Thinking something had gotten lost in the translation, Kennedy asked the translator to ask again. And the man gave the same reply, "Being occupied with God." Worship. Choosing faithfulness. Are you choosing to be faithful? Let me give you another word that is synonymous with faithful, and that is obedient. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you love me, keep my commandments. "Oh, Jesus, I love you, but I'm going to go do my own thing." Jesus will say to that, "You don't love me. You don't love me." Are you placing an emphasis on worship of Jesus? Do you consider Jesus to be worthy of your worship? In Europe, cathedrals, places once of worship, now are museums because of the coldness of worship and of the people's hearts. Attending a worship service does not mean you have worshiped. True worship is to tell God what He is worth to you. Some of you are hoping attendance is all He expects. But the real issue is what you do the other 167 hours of the week. You're hoping that your bodily presence in church is all He wants. but he wants your life. Choose to be faithful. Place an emphasis on worship. Choosing faithfulness requires cleansing oneself of sin. Let's pick up and read chapter 29, verse 5. This is Hezekiah speaking. Then he said to them, "Listen to me, O Levites. Consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the house of the Lord, the God of your fathers, and carry the uncleanness out from the holy place. For our fathers have been unfaithful and have done evil in the sight of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him and turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord, and have turned their backs. They have also shut the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was against Judah and Jerusalem, and he has made them an object of terror, of horror, and of hissing, as you see with your own eyes. For behold, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his burning anger may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to minister to him, and to be his ministers and burn incense." Choosing faithfulness requires cleansing oneself of sin. Confront who you really are. Hezekiah had gathered the priest and the Levites, the one responsible for the care of the temple. He first says to them, consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourself. Then work on consecrating the temple. But first he says, make yourself ceremonially clean. Then deal with the temple. And it only took 16 days, it says, down into chapter 29. Only 16 days. But first, they needed to deal honestly with themselves about themselves. C.S. Lewis said that we have a strange illusion that mere time cancels sin. He went on to say, "I have heard others and I have heard myself recounting cruelties and falsehoods committed in boyhood as if they were no concern of the speaker's presence. And even with laughter, but mere time does nothing either to the fact or to the guilt of sin. The guilt is washed out not by time, but by repentance and the blood of Christ." Why is it that we worry more about what we're going to wear to worship than we do about being prepared for worship? Or why is it that we worry more about where we're going to eat after worship than we do about preparing our hearts to worship? Now, I bet I have hit you in one of those two areas. We worry more about the externals when what Jesus is worried about is our heart. Are we faithful to him in our heart? You say, "Well, I think he's God." No, the trick is are you obedient to him? That's where the proof is. Are you obedient to him? And why is it that we worry more about getting caught doing something than we do doing that, whatever it is, before omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing God? We just worry about getting caught. Why is that? How seriously do you take sin, disobedience toward God, even rebellion? And I'm not talking about what's going on in other people's lives, other people's hearts, other parts of the world. I'm talking about what's going on in your life. Again, I think we compare sin. Kim and I had a discussion this week that, and she made a valid point that the Lord does rank sin, because there are some things that he said, kill him, stone him, Disobey your parents, stone the child. I think part of that is because some sin that we commit does affect other people. But the wages of all sin is death. Because there are some things that I can think and do that you'll never know about. But it's sin. Did you prepare your heart to worship this morning? Are you living your life out in faithfulness to God? We are to confess our sin. We are to agree with God that what we choose to do, the rebellion, the cutting of the corners, the shading that which is black and white into gray. We are saying that, well, you know, this is 2018. You know, it was different back then. No, it's the same. But we choose to go our own way. This morning, I am challenging you to renew your faithfulness. To be faithful to Christ. Will you turn from your sin? One has said that we treat sin like a cream puff. Others said we treat it like a rattlesnake. Which is it for you? So the choice is yours, and you will decide. Where do you think your choices will take you? As you think back over the last 2 weeks of messages, what is your view of Scripture? Does your opinion of the Bible show respect to the Lord, faithfulness to the Lord? Remember, the Lord is waiting to bless you, to have compassion on you. What do you say to the Lord? What do your choices say to the Lord, and where will they take you? You can choose to be faithful to God and to Christ or not. You can try blaming a home life. You can try blaming a childhood, a role model. But it is your choice. Will you choose to be faithful? Will you renew your commitment to being faithful to the Lord? If you don't understand what I mean, this altar is open to you. And it may be that you need to renew your faithfulness to the Lord. I don't know what is going on in your life. I don't know what is going on in your heart and mind this morning. But there are things happening in people's lives that we are being attacked. So renew your faithfulness to the Lord. My challenge to every one of you is to be faithful to Jesus Christ. Will you do it?